Your new book, Speak with the Dead, you point out seven methods for spirit communication. Let's go through some of those if we can. Seven methods.
Okay. A few of them are sort of elaborations on the same idea, the recording of voices. And electronic voice phenomenon, I mean, everyone's seen it by now. It's the idea that the dead can influence magnetic media or other kinds of media to imprint voices. So in the book, I go through the methods for just capturing voices from the air without anything but a recorder. Then we move into using white noise, which there was a movie, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Did you like that movie? Hollywood, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it sort of went way off there. And, I mean, I guess there would have even been better ways to do that. But it was funny. I mean, you could almost watch Michael Keaton on the interviews for that, not seem that into it after, like, day one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, the idea is still there that using some kind of material, like white noise or static, it makes it easier to manipulate and create voices. But lately, more and more people have just been experimenting with pure recording with high-quality gear, like either a hard drive or a digital recorder. There's no interference, no hissing that's not conducive to detecting voices. And once you capture something now, it's becoming easier, as you mentioned technology, it's easier now to grab the waveform on a computer and amplify just a specific area using something like Cool Edit Pro or other widely available software.
Right.
And then you could just bring it out and hear it and slow it down and speed it up. And sometimes changing the speed makes it easier to recognize if it's a guy or a girl or maybe even someone you know.
Yeah. Now, the EVPs, those sounds, some people have said, Konstantinos, that really what these are sounds coming from another dimension. You know, I tend to think it's a ghostly sound on some kind of entity that is still here that hasn't moved on. What's your take?
It could be from another dimension, but it's defined dimension, right? Like some people's theories of the afterlife are that it's just another dimension.
True.
There's the idea of just multiple possibilities, parallel universes. I mean, in science, there's the principle where if you don't necessarily observe something, it exists in multiple states of probability. So if there's multiple parallel universes like that, sure, we could be picking up those voices. We could even be picking up people who recently died here but maybe didn't die in one of those parallel universes. It's certainly possible.
Are the voices always out there? We just haven't heard them or we haven't recorded them? Or do they pop up when they are asked to?
I've definitely found that the experimenter affects the experiment when it comes to EVP, just like a lot of other bizarre phenomena. If you have this sincere intent to try and capture these voices, they do seem to manifest. Now, is that truly a supernatural thing? Not necessarily. That happens in even simple particle physics experiments. The experimenter wanting a particle to go one way or another can make it go that way. So there's definitely something going on there with our intent sort of reaching out and meeting these other minds and getting them to respond.
Must the person have died in that location for that entity to appear as an EVP, or are they just scattered all over the place?
Yeah, I've seen results at graveyards. I've seen results just with an item that belonged to the person. I've seen results with just a photo, which leads me to believe it might have a lot to do with the mind of the experimenter. You sort of tune in and use that as like a focusing point, something to reach out with.
I was going to say that with so many billions of people who have died over the eons, why aren't we having sound clutter, with voices everywhere, stepping on each other? You could barely understand them because they're all talking.
Well, I think they would be broadcasting using part of the electromagnetic spectrum that, normal radio doesn't pick up, normal TV doesn't pick up. And I think our minds are more finely tuned, and they can, through something like a photograph or a place or a piece of clothing or something, reach out and try and connect and make that link. I definitely don't think they follow the normal laws of, I guess, the FCC's regulation on broadband.
Yeah, exactly. Another way, of course, to try to contact the dead is telepathy.
Yes, definitely. And some people who start with electronic voice phenomenon, and there's a reason I put those methods in that order in the book, if people start with trying to record voices, then they eventually find that they don't really need the tape recorder. Or sometimes they'll be recording and they'll just know what it's going to say and they play it back and sure enough it's there, but they didn't hear it, they just sort of knew it was there. And after a while, sometimes people find that they can actually get the impressions, sometimes clear words or pictures, but they're usually not 100%. Sometimes they won't come at all, and sometimes the impressions will be there. They very rarely seem to come to perform for, I don't know, like a television studio or something.
You know what freaks me out is when I always hear the sounds of children. Not that it scares me, it's just freaky. It's sad.
It certainly is. It's a very distressing thing to hear. And sometimes, I mean, I don't know if this will bring much comfort, but sometimes it's because the voice is just incredibly warbled or moving quicker. So sometimes if you play around the speed, you see it might sound more like someone a little older. But yeah, certainly when it sounds like a clear child voice, it's a little freaky.
Seances, you a believer in that?
Yeah. It's one of those things that has been manipulated. You know, Houdini had a great time exposing the tricksters years ago. Because a seance is a perfect place to do some fraud, right? I mean, it's a dark room. You're all sort of sitting around a table. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes, behind the curtains. But seances are also a great example of a bunch of people focusing on one thing and trying to tune into one thing. And one thing I've seen time and time again is that whenever an experiment occurs with a bunch of people involved, it's not just doubled or tripled if there are two or three people. It's more like quadrupled or maybe 10 times as strong. It's like an exponential increase.
How important is the medium?
I think the medium's important. Sometimes the medium's important just as a psychodramatic figure, someone who, if they have the right demeanor and seem to exude the right authority, other people in the room will focus better. They'll tune in better. But sometimes the medium's also the one who can do something with all that gathered intensity, the one person in the room who can pick up that weak signal that comes in.